Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new edition of Collider Ladies Night with a returning guest from... I feel very confident in saying this right now, for a movie that is going to wind up being one of my absolute favorite films of 2023. Melissa Barrera is here. Huge congratulations on Scream 6.
Thank you so much. So great to see you again.
You too. So you know about the Dice Tower behind me. That is where we start on all episodes of Collider Ladies Night. I've got three roles for you. They correspond to three random questions, and we will see what you get to start.
Okay.
All right. First one up. Kicking this off with a number four. Oh, you got a heavy one to start here. I'm calling this one favorite, least favorite. What is your absolute favorite part of the acting process? Putting your costume on for the first time, rehearsing, anything like that. But then what's not necessarily your least favorite, but a part of the process where you see room to grow for yourself and you're excited to tackle that?
That's a really good question. I think my favorite part of the acting process is being either on set or on stage. Like the living inside a character's skin and getting to experience their life and their emotions and all of that is, I think, why I'm addicted to it in a way. I get to like not be myself for periods of time. And I think my least favorite part of the acting process is the waiting. And whether that's like waiting for something that you shot to come out or waiting for the next job, the in-betweens, that's the hardest, I think, part of this industry.
I understand that all too well. Every single time I wrap an interview, it's like, when is the next one? It needs to be now or I stress out.
Yeah.
All right. I got your second role now. You're moving over to a number three. This one is a semi-easy one. It's wrap gifts. What is the most memorable wrap gift you've ever received or given?
I made sweatshirts for Vida when we wrapped season three. And I had them like, it was a picture of the bar on the outside of the bar with the neon sign, but I had... my sister's friend is a really good graphic designer, and she like added some quotes on there that like were very representative of our time on the show, and I gave them out to the cast and you know the producers and all of that, and I still wear that, and we all still wear it. I like to give wrap gifts that I know people will use. I think it's important because There's so many like cool merch things that I just like keep in a drawer, but when you get something that's very wearable and usable, I like that. So I try to think about that when I give wrap gifts.
Sweatshirts, and blankets. Clearly, I like things that keep me warm, but I genuinely use those things all the time.
Cozy things. Cozy things are always nice, always welcome.
All right, we have one more roll in the tower. All right, we're wrapping this with a number. Ooh, you got my favorite question.
Okay.
This is zombie apocalypse. So painting a little picture for you right now. You're working on Scream 6 and suddenly there's a zombie outbreak. You can pick two co-stars to team up with. Who do you pick that gives yourself the best chance of surviving?
Oh my gosh. Out of the Scream 6 cast, definitely Jasmine. Because I feel like she's both like physically fit. I just went into the Madagascar song. But she's also really smart. And I guess probably Mason can throw good punches. And he's like such a like a good loyal friend that he would probably sacrifice himself for us. So I think that would be my team.
All right, let's get into the main part of the interview now. So we had you on the show about a year ago. We don't have to hit the very earliest stages, but I feel like it's very unusual when I have a returning guest come on so soon after being on the show for the first time. And we have so much new stuff to discuss. So I wanted to start here. What would you say is the biggest difference between, you know, your filmmaking and storytelling goals now compared to when we last spoke for Ladies Night in January of 2022?
I feel like in the last year, I did have a big perspective shift. I had, so from when Scream came out to like Scream, you know, 2022 in January, then I didn't work until we started shooting Scream in June. So I was like busy, I was doing stuff and I was traveling back and forth and I was doing promo and I went to Europe and visited my sister. So I was moving, but it wasn't working. And there's a part of me that gets really sad when I'm not working. So it was a hard like half of the year for me. And I was so like desperate to work. And then I did Scream and then I did the collaboration. And then I just finished, I just wrapped this other indie movie that I did called Your Monster that hasn't even been announced yet, but like I'm giving you the scoop. But it's this like incredible indie movie that was so satisfying to me. And I've realized how like smaller films are more creatively satisfying in a way because you get a lot more say and it becomes it's like a real team effort. It's like basically everyone is kind of sacrificing a lot to do this very low budget thing and make it look good and make it the best that it can be and like having the highest hopes for something, knowing that you don't have like the huge back of like a studio. I think it like makes you hungrier. And I think in the last year I had a mentality of like, I need to do something big to make a splash and to like make a name for myself so that I can green light projects, because it's like a thing in this industry where you're never a big enough name. Unless you're like one of like the top, you know, 10 famous people in the world, you're never big enough. And it's like, really? Like, what else do I have to do? But then I was like, when I did like collaboration and Your Monster that are smaller films, it was so wonderful and it was so cathartic and I felt like I did the best work that I've ever done. And I was like, this is actually what I wanna do. Like, I just wanna do projects that like speak to my soul and that stretch me, and it doesn't matter what size they are because I'm meeting like incredibly talented creatives that are like up and coming and that I know are gonna be huge, and I get to like be with them when they start out. And I think it's, I don't know, like I wanna do that now. I'm like focused on that. I'm like finding like smaller movies that have roles that are really challenging for me and keep doing what I've been doing so far, which I think is doing like very different kinds of roles all the time. Not letting anyone put me in a box, just constantly, you know, surprising people with the kinds of things I do.
You are welcome in the horror box anytime you want to exist in it, though. So stay in that box maybe a little more often than other genres. My head is exploding with follow-up questions. One thing that crossed my mind as you were explaining all that is it's a question that I ask quite often because this industry loves to look at a film and say that's someone's breakout project. And from our limited perspective, we think a certain something happens when someone breaks out. But for the person experiencing it, it's completely different. And, you know, the title that comes to mind for you is In the Heights, but feel free to swap in any other title that's more applicable here. What would you say is a misconception about breaking out in Hollywood? But then on the other hand, what is something that actually did change for the better when you had your big break?
I don't know. I mean, it's such a weird and like good question because I have no idea what a big break means. Because I think like every time that I do something, someone writes that it's my breakout role. And I'm like, when am I gonna stop having breakout roles? Like, when am I actually gonna be broken out? You know, like, when am I gonna stop breaking out? Because people are just like, the breakout star of In the Heights, the breakout star of Scream, the breakout star of Scream 6. I'm like, okay, I keep breaking out. I guess I haven't broken through yet. What, you know, it's such a subjective thing in the industry. And I think unless something is like a global phenomenon, people never stop considering you breaking out, you know? I don't know. I do feel like every single thing that I've done, though, has opened doors for me. Like, I don't know. I think we talked about this the last time, but, like, I thought that my first lead in a soap was a huge breakout for me. And then, like, when I crossed over to the U.S. and I got Vida, being, like, one of the leads of, prime time show on like Stars, I was like, I feel like this is a huge breakout. But then In the Heights was my first like big studio movie. And like that for some people is like my breakout. I don't even know. I'm not mad at it. I'm like, whatever you think is my breakout role, because everyone has different perspectives and everyone likes different roles that I've done. So whatever floats your boat.
For what it's worth, I feel like the repetitive breakout labeling comes from the fact that you do different types of things that reaches different types of audiences. And, you know, when that happens, it also exposes an audience who usually likes one thing to the rest of your body of work. So there's a lot of silver linings to it happening that way.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it. I'm like, you know, I'm just happy to continue to work.
I am very happy that you continue to work as well, because I love all your stuff. I want to hit everything. We don't have enough time, and I have to go heavy into Scream 6 because I'm full-blown obsessed with the movie. I want to squeeze in two more broader questions, and these are like very specific memories, so if you can't come up with something, it's totally cool. But I recently covered a movie that had a writer's block element, so I started to ask this question a lot ever since. Can you give me an example of a scene that you as an actor were having a tough time cracking, whether it was accessing your character's headspace, justifying a decision they make, and then tell me a little bit about how you overcame that and actually wound up nailing the scene?
It happens a lot. It actually happens a lot to me. And I had that happen just in the last set that I was on, where if something doesn't feel honest to me in the moment, I go into like a full body block. Like my body and my mind and my heart does not let me continue acting because I know that it will be phony. And it happened a lot to me in this last movie that I did. And thankfully I had a director that we had a great relationship coming in, a lot of trust. And I told her, I was like, this is probably one of the most difficult roles I've ever done. It's so different to anything I've ever done. And it's so different to me, who I am as Melissa, that I'm gonna be, you know, like trying things out. And sometimes I'm gonna need your guidance, but I'm gonna need time to process. So sometimes she would like ask me for things and I'd be halfway through the scene trying to like go through a note that I was given and just stop and freeze. All I need is like a pause to like find it. And sometimes it takes longer. So sometimes she'd be like, are you okay? And I was like, I can't do it. I'll just be like, I can't do it. And she's like, you can, you're doing it. I'm like, I can't do it. It doesn't feel right. And I'll just need a moment. But it's usually after those like little like blips of like panic that I have that like the real breakthrough comes. And like, that's when I feel the most satisfied with scenes, when I'm like, cause I feel my whole body working through it and like trying to find the honesty in it. I don't like saying things, like saying a line and not meaning it. And sometimes, I don't know, like sometimes acting is like that. You have to kind of just do things that you're asked to do, but like I protect myself, I feel like. Because I've had in the past done things where I'm like, oh, that was a bad take. I'm sure they're not gonna use it. And then they use it. So I think that's my like my defense mechanism of like just going into full body block of like, I'm not gonna act if I don't feel like I'm being truthful. I'm not gonna do it. And then I just need to take a breather and I need to talk it through. And sometimes it's like the director's like, what is it? And I'm like, I'm trying to do what you want me to do, but I'm trying to find the way that feels right for me to get there. And I just need a beat. And yeah, so that's been happening to me a lot lately.
I love that approach to it. I don't want to press you for information on that upcoming movie, but because you referenced the filmmaker on that, are you allowed to name the person?
Her name is Caroline Lindy, and she is, this is going to be her feature debut, and she is a genius.
Very glad.
Oh my God, you are going to love her when you meet her. You're going to adore her.
I'm very excited and looking forward to that.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'll squeeze in one more big broad question before we move into Scream. And this is a very cheesy question, but it's something that I believe in heavily. We love in this industry to tell each other good job, but we don't say it to ourselves nearly enough. So of all the films and shows and other things you've made, is there any particular scene that you look back on and, you know, can say to yourself like, damn, I am proud of what I did in that moment.
I feel like there's a lot. Like, I don't congratulate myself in the moment, but looking back, I am proud of a lot of the things that I've done. Like, off the top of my head, specifically, just because it was like a Mount Everest to climb, like the club scene in the Heights was pretty big. After those 2 days of shooting that, I was like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe like I actually managed to pull that off, and I probably won't ever be able to do that again, but now it's immortalized on film forever, so I'm happy about that.
That's an incredible set piece, but as you were teeing that up, I thought you were going to say the club, the lengthy dance in Carmen, which is also exceptional. So you kind of, like in a sense, you did it again, and you kind of upped it in a different sense.
Well, I was going to say also the desert dance in Carmen was daunting because it was a oneer. You know, like in the Heights, we had all these different setups. They could edit out of like the, you know, we shot it over 2 days. So they were going to pick the best out of everything. And I'm glad they did. But for Carmen, it was a oneer. And I was in the middle of, I think it was 5 or 6 of like the Sydney Dance Company, best dancers in Australia. And I was like in the middle of them and I was mortified. And I was like, how am I going to do this in a oneer? And something like, I don't know, like I was touched by God on that in that moment because I blanked. I don't even know how I did what I did. And even Benjamin doesn't know how I did what I did because he came up to me afterwards and he was like, how did you do that? He was like, you were soaring, you were flying. How did you do that? I was like, I don't know. thank you. But I don't know how I did that. I don't, there's something like really magical about acting, whether it's on stage or on screen. I feel like sometimes you manage to disappear and like fully be in the moment. And those are the moments that we're always chasing as actors. Those are like the rare moments where we're like, I genuinely don't know what I did. And that's when you're fully living in it. It's hard. You can't do that all the time. We try to, but it's hard. But that was one of those moments too.
Those are the moments I chase to talk about and to celebrate. And you have many. And before we move into Scream, I will just tell our audience that Carmen is in theaters in April. So everyone will be able to see that really soon.
Yeah.
Okay, first for non-spoiler questions for Scream 6, when you first saw the script for the new movie and what Sam's evolution would be, what would you say was your biggest burning question for Matt Tyler and the team that, you know, you had to sit with and talk through before hitting set?
This is a really good question. So the script changed a lot from the first script that I got to the movie that we made. I want to say basically completely different. And we had a few sit downs, like Matt and Tyler and I, and then with Jamie and Guy, because I really, really wanted to make sure that that we explored Sam's like psyche more and we got to know her deeply, because that was the reason that I wanted to play Sam in the first place. Like, the reason that I was attracted to her in Scream 5 was like, oh my God, there's so much potential here. Where is she going to go? And I wanted to make sure that in the sixth movie, we saw more layers to her. It wasn't just like the tough girl, the protective older sister that like has all these walls up. I was like, what happens when those walls break down? And we didn't get a chance to see that in the fifth one. So I was like, I want to make sure that she feels like a more real, well-rounded human. Like all these things, all these relationships and everything that happened to her in the fifth one, how are we going to explore that? And I think the thing about like Matt and Tyler being so great is that when I first spoke to them after reading the first draft, I was like, these are my concerns and I want the audiences to get to know Sam more. You know, I think it's important that the audiences know her more, because otherwise it's tough coming into a franchise in the fifth movie. You know, it's tough. And like the fans are already in love with so many characters that you need to like give them a lot and open up a lot to them for them to like let you in. And I really wanted that. And they were 100% on board. And they also wanted that for all the characters. They wanted those quiet moments. They wanted the core four to have these like intimate beats of friendship and of like us getting a glimpse of like these four people that went through enormous trauma and how they're all dealing with it in their own way. So that having like a heart, because the fifth movie felt like in a way in the Scream franchise, the first four movies are incredible. And, you know, Wes had his thing and his vision of Scream. And in the fifth one, that is the first one without him, we had the essence of Scream, but I also feel like there was a lot of heart. Like, it was a very emotional movie, which is rare in Scream. And I think that that's beautiful. That's what attracts me to projects, the heart, the emotionality, because that's what I connect with personally. So I wanted to keep that going in the sixth movie. And I think that's what Guy and Jamie do so well. And they did. And I mean, I'm so happy with the movie that we shot.
Great success in that respect. That's like one of the things that I keep emphasizing the most. You could have, you know, an incredibly well choreographed and shot set piece, but that set piece only means so much if it's not backed by a true attachment to the characters and loads of heart.
Yeah, totally.
All right. I've been given the five. So now is when I panic and go to my spoiler questions.
Okay.
So
allowed to talk spoilers? Yes.
We're gonna save this for the appropriate time. I will not breach embargo. I will guard these with my life.
Right. Okay.
I guess one of the first things maybe I should ask you is, have you even seen a script for Scream 7, or are you in the dark in terms of what lies ahead for Sam?
I have no idea that that's happening. Like, I've heard people like saying like, oh, I hope that we can make another one, but I officially don't know anything.
Okay. That's just, it's good for me to know as I ask some of these questions here. I guess the first big one I really need to dig into here is what it was like for you being in Sam's headspace, playing that final scene when she drops Billy Loomis's mask, especially not knowing what lies ahead for the character. What particular motivation did you need for her while shooting it now?
To me, Sam, I think what has always connected me to Sam is, her love for her sister. Like that was my way into her, because that's something that I can relate to very easily. And I know that I would pick my sisters over anything, no matter what. And so to me in that moment, no matter how hard the pull is to this like darkness, the fact that Tara's like, hey, are you coming? And to me that you're coming is so loaded, because I think they're in it now. Like Tara has fully accepted Sam and everything that she is. You know, she it's like an unconditional love. She knows the darkness in her sister. And I think there's, you know, she also knows that darkness can be a double-edged sword, but it does serve to protect them. Like she does need to be a little bit like that to survive now twice and keeping her safe. So to me, that moment was, what am I choosing? Am I choosing the darkness, or am I choosing the love and family and my sister? And so in that moment, I think Sam snaps out of it and she's like, oh yeah, my sister needs me. There's no way. Like I have to be with her. And so it's like an immediate, like no brainer, like goodbye. And I'm going with her. Yeah.
The evolution of that relationship is one of my favorite things of these new movies. Here, this is like a very awkward question to say because it's so dark, but can you tell me about your approach to filming the Sam stabbing Detective Bailey scene in Scream 6 versus Sam stabbing Richie in Scream 5 in terms of how you can reflect how she's evolved and how she uses her inner Billy now compared to back then?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that in the fifth movie, when she stabs Richie, it's kind of like all the things that she's hidden for years, and the secret and the weight of it and the humiliation and the hurt and like all of these things kind of just came out in the moment, and she snapped, and it was kind of like an out of body experience for her in the fifth movie when she stabs Richie. When she is stabbing Detective Bailey, she's doing it in the know, and she's doing it with like joy. She's like, I'm back, baby. Like she's enjoying this moment fully. And she's wearing like the Ghostface costume. Like I just think it's so epic that I got to do that. But also, by the way, it's so hard to breathe in that mask. It's insane.
How was it putting that costume on for the first time after all this?
It was so awesome when I tried on my robe. It was so awesome. I can't even tell you. It was so empowering. I have pictures of that fitting. I cannot wait to post all of that.
This makes me so happy. Given what you said earlier about how you were able to collaborate with Matt Tyler and the team, walking away from filming Scream 6, is there any particular, you know, quality of Sam's or corner of her world that's been untapped at this point that you're hoping that you could dig into more in future films?
I think there's so much that can be explored. I'm really curious if they're going to continue her in the same like teetering the edge and then snapping at the end pattern, or if it's gonna go somewhere different. And I have a feeling that it's gonna go somewhere different, because these writers are very creative, and I'm excited because it could be anything. Like it could be anything, this next movie. I don't know. I'm excited about it.
As you should be. I trust you. I trust them. My trust has not been misplaced with these two movies. I can't express how enthusiastic I am about this film to you and say congratulations enough. But again, congratulations. This is something else, and I'm so excited for everything that's to come for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.